following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
You are now listening to Lucha Outsider Show, available on iTunes, SoundCloud, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. At Lucha Outsiders, everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes.
Lucha Outsider Show.
Lucha
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Well, guess who's back? Welcome to another episode of the Lucha Outsiders Show. I am the heel, the seal, the deal, the villain, stays chilling, the anti-hero of the IWC, your boy, Mr. Rated R, and I'm joined by my tag team partner. He is the analysis of the LOC. He's the man that put the honor back in Ring of Honor or killed it. He's formerly a straight shooter on Twitter. And when it comes to wrestling, he has a radar from the mean streets of Long Island.
I like it. I like the formerly straight shooter.
I mean, because every time we get on here, you go like, I'm not really on Twitter anymore. The Twitter's still alive, but I really don't tweet anymore. So I feel like formerly just adds a little spunk to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still alive, but it's hanging on by a thread at this point. I always say I'm going to bring it back, but never end up doing that. So.
Who's to say? Maybe out of all weeks is this week.
Yeah. You know, I mean, who knows? I may just pop on there at a random point, but you never know. Who knows? But what's going on, Mario?
We were just talking off air. It's been a while. It's been about a month the last time we got on here and recorded a little something. But it's WrestleMania week. Big, big week of professional wrestling. The week of professional wrestling, if you will, right? And it's like, how can we not do like an episode, dude? We had to do something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, not doing an episode in a month, you know, obviously to come on here in the biggest week for pro wrestling of the year. It's my favorite weekend of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I am ready to get to Philly already, leaving in a couple of days. It'll be my 8th WrestleMania overall, but my 7th in a row. So on a pretty crazy streak here, and I'm really excited for this weekend.
That is the streak. You know what? If there's any streaks when it comes to WrestleMania, because Taker's out of here, it's the Ryan streak of going to WrestleManias.
Yeah, and the streak may be broken sooner than I may think. So
I mean, not for nothing, but if the rumors are true, where WrestleMania is going to be at next year, that sounds like a congratulations. Like, who really is going to want to go there for WrestleMania?
Minneapolis, yeah. Minnesota. Yeah, not the most attractive destination. But,
I mean, if it's Vegas, you know, there could have been a conversation there, but like Minnesota.
But you know what's going to happen? It's like CM Punk's going to come back. He's going to main event his first WrestleMania ever next year at WrestleMania 41. And I'm going to be like, as a huge CM Punk fan, I'm going to be like, wow, I got to be there for that moment.
But, well, okay, like, here's the thing, though. I'm not saying that they're going to draw, like, a poor attendance. Like, it's WrestleMania. Like, that's WrestleMania by itself. It's already the sell.
You're itching to travel, too.
Nah, not really. You know, we've been very critical on AEW, but since Revolution... So, yeah, I've been enjoying the AEW product. It's specifically just because of three people. Shane Strickland, Will Ospreay, and Okada. So, it's just kind of give me your thoughts on these three people and then anything else from AEW that has grabbed your attention.
Yeah, I mean, definitely those three. You know, the addition of Okada and Will Ospreay definitely has just... given that the product as a whole, just a huge spark that it needed, Okada being aligned with Young Bucks, I think that's a great move. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just, it's genius.
Genius, 1,000%. Really, it makes perfect sense, especially because they're best friends in real life, too.
Right, right. And Kenny Omega's not on television right mm-hmm. now, and Hangman's doing his own thing, and Adam Cole's doing his own thing. So it's like the Young Bucks needed this, too, you know? So it just, it works out for all three guys. It benefits them all in a huge way. And like you said, the fact that they're all friends in real life, it just it definitely adds to that even more. And you know, Will Ospreay, obviously, what more can you say about him, right? I mean, he's just on another level from everybody else. Kick-ass matches and his charisma too. I mean, I don't want to say I didn't know he was this charismatic, but I guess he didn't really get a chance to show it in New Japan too much. So,
well, it's a different audience too that he's kind of, you know, entertaining, right? The Japanese audience is a little bit more not as lively as the American audience. And you can even say the same thing about the UK audience as well. But for whatever reason, the transition for Ospreay from, you know, over there in Japan from being a gaijin to now to the States, it's just, he has just such a connection with the fan base where, like, you see it every time he comes out and he plays into it very well too. Where he just starts pointing to each side of the arena, or, you know, just two sides of the arena, you know, based on some AEW pictures that, you know, just calling a spade, right? But regardless, like, that audience just fucking loses their mind. They just go like, Ospreay. You know, obviously he has a great theme as well. So that's also, like, it benefits him. But, like, besides Strickland, you can make an argument that Ospreay's the biggest baby face in that company.
100%. I mean, and he should be. He should be the face of the company. You know, obviously it's too soon to say that right now, but I think eventually over time he will become that just top baby face, and hopefully he could be AEW's Cody Rhodes in a way, you know? So at least that's what I hope so.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Tony Khan seems high on him too, so I have high hopes for him over there. And then, yeah, obviously, you know, talking about Swerve, he in my opinion right now is the face of the company.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so over.
So good, too.
He's the guy right now, and I think they need to crown him a champion, and I think they will at the next pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting Samoa Joe, so I think you just got to crown him there. You know, I mean, it's you can't let this opportunity slip away. You know, he's red hot right now. You got to capitalize on it. So, yeah, I mean, those three guys, and along with Mercedes Moné, you know, coming into the company has just you know, made the product watchable, at least, you know, you're a little bit more interested in the shows. You know, there's still a lot wrong with the product for sure. You know, it's not perfect by any means.
Collision is still unwatchable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how that's even still on the air, and as well as Rampage too. I mean, those are just two irrelevant shows that he doesn't even seem like he tries with anymore, you know? So yeah, I mean, Dynamite though, for the most part has been enjoyable.
You mentioned Mercedes Moné, and there has been some mixed feelings about her presentation and just the usage of Mercedes on AEW television right now. I kind of have mixed feelings about it as well. I'm not leaning super negative like a lot of these wrestling fans are, but I'm also not going to sugarcoat shit either. But so far, what have you thought about the presentation and just at least her appearances so far in AEW?
I mean, she's not the best promo. You know, let's be honest.
Yep.
She's pretty cringe on the microphone, not going to lie. you know, promo's not great. They weren't great in New Japan either. Well, obviously, you know, it's kind of a small sample size because she hasn't really done much. But I, you know, I think she's going to have great matches with a lot of the women on the roster there. Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know if she's going to really change the complexion of the division, you know? Like, everybody thinks that, you know, everybody thought the same thing when Paige came in, right? She was going to revolutionize the division and,
that
you
was
know.
A fucking fart in church, let me tell you.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, it might not be the exact same with Mercedes, but I don't think she's going to make this women's division any better. You know, like it's still going to be what it is. Maybe we'll get a main event spot on a pay-per-view or something like that, you know, or I don't know. But I just feel like the women's division is what it is. And, you know, I mean, listen, they work hard. I mean, I actually, there was when they did the doubleheader a couple of weeks ago where they did Dynamite and Rampage.
That was a great show. That was a great 3 hours.
It was, and I actually watched all of it, and the women had a street fight on Rampage.
Yeah.
I think it was Willow and Chris Statlander against
Julia
Sky Blue
and Sky
and
Blue.
Julia.
Yep.
Yeah, and I thought those women kicked ass, man. I thought that was a great match. So, I mean, you know, we'll see what the division can turn into, but, I mean, I don't know. Right now, I don't really see Mercedes as that giant needle mover that everybody thinks that she is going to be. But I mean, hey, I'm a huge fan of her, and I hope that I'm wrong. But I don't know. I just...
You know what it is with the Mercedes, too, and I'm also a fan of her, too. I think she just works better as a heel. And, you know, I thought her first promo when she made her debut on AEW in Boston, when they were there at the Boston Garden, I thought that promo was very heartfelt. It felt very real. You know, it didn't really feel like it was coming from Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks, the character. It came from more like Mercedes, what's her last name, Verano?
Mm-hmm.
It came more from her, like the person. It didn't sound like it came from Sasha or Mercedes Moné or anything like that, you know? Was cool with that promo. I did have a couple of people hit me up and was like, oh, what you thought of Mercedes? I was like, I thought the promo was very heartfelt. I thought it was very organic. And some people were like kind of breaking it apart and was like, oh, it kind of seemed fake. And I didn't get none of that, right? But what I will say is after that, the following week, and even her on commentary last week, I'm not really digging it right now. But, you know, I thought the second in-ring promo she had, I think that was in Canada. Might have been Toronto, if I'm mistaken.
I thought
that promo was a complete bust. I didn't like that. There, I will say, her promo came off of a little bit condescending. It didn't really seem organic. You know, it just...
Very forced.
Yeah, very forced. It really felt that way. And on commentary, she was, like, very, kind of forgettable, too. You know, like... I feel like her promos are just better as a heel, and I feel like her days of kind of being a baby face, I don't think they're going to be long-lasting. I think where she's going to draw some money, no pun, is when she turns a heel, you know, because that's her best work, is when she's a heel.
Yeah, and can we talk about the god-awful theme song, too?
You know, when I first heard the song that day at the Boston Garden, right, when I first started watching Dynamite, and I heard that, I'm like, the fuck? Did Gunther just jump ship? That's what I first thought. Yeah. And then I hear CEO. I was like, oh. And then it's like, okay, I get it. Obviously, the CEO chant is super over, right? Which, I mean, that's a good
thing,
right? And it's
also super cringe, in my opinion.
The chant is over, but the song is just, man, the song is just... Why couldn't she just keep her New Japan theme? I like that. You want to throw a couple bars on that? That's okay. But I don't know about this theme song.
Yeah. It definitely doesn't hit for me. I don't know. The CEO stuff is very cringe. Maybe over time it'll you know, grow on me. And obviously it's over. But I don't know. I'm just
couldn't we
really
get
not
Snoop
digging
to
it.
Throw to, you know, to spit some bars on the fucking New Japan theme? That would have been dope.
Yeah, right? Like, Snoop's her cousin. Like, why can't they take advantage of that and give her a decent theme song?
Yeah,
I don't know.
The presentation right now is a little bit wonky. I'm not trying to shit on it, right? I'm not trying to.
It's too early to tell, you know.
But I think her best work is always when she's a heel.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right, let's move on from AEW and let's get into some WWE stuff. Let's talk about a guy, CM Punk, bro.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about with CM Punk.
So he made the rounds once again. Yesterday, I was in one of the group chats that I'm in, you know, shout outs to Iridian, Teddy Lowe, and Casey. I start seeing that they're talking about CM Punk, and they're saying that wrestling Twitter is, you know, losing it right now. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So he was like, yeah, he was on Ariel Helwani, and he was shitting on AEW and stuff. And I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, man, I got to check this out then. So I went on YouTube. And Ariel Helwani's show is like, I don't know, like 4 hours long or something. So I was skimming through the CM Punk interview, which that was like 2 hours in itself. So I was like, listen, I'm at work. I'm active. I'm, you know, running around, picking shit, you know, moving pallets around. So I was like, I'll just put my phone in my pocket and I'll listen to the whole thing. I listened to the whole fucking 2 hours. That was probably one of the best interviews I've ever heard in my life. There's something about Ariel Helwani. I don't even know why this guy gets hate, but he does get hate from people. To me, Ariel Helwani, he's in a league of his own when it comes to interviewing and just having like conversations with people, because it doesn't seem like he's really having an interview with someone. It sounds like he's just having a conversation with someone. And I think maybe that's the reason why some of these like wrestlers or athletes or MMA fighters just have kind of like this cool, very like relaxed like rapport with him. You know, he's done it with like Sami Zayn in the past. He obviously did it with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch and stuff. Not Tony Khan, because Tony Khan does not do well under pressure. Yeah, but I don't know, man. That CM Punk interview, I really, really enjoyed it. And I just love the pacing about it, too, where I was listening to, like, the first half hour of it, and I'm like, this is a really great conversation. When is it going to get to, like, I guess, like, the negative shit? Because he hasn't said anything crazy yet, right? I'm, like, waiting. Yeah. And then little by little, you start see Ariel, like, kind of, like, transitioning the conversation of, like, how did the WWE deal happen? Give me the timeline from it. Was there, like, a non-compete? They talked about when CM Punk showed up to the Allstate Arena when he was still employed in AEW. So the conversation, I love how the conversation went, you know, like the tone of the conversation and how little by little, I guess, Punk just felt comfortable and was like, and even though at points he was just like, oh, I shouldn't be saying this. And then little by little, you start kind of seeing some of the stuff that happened in AEW, right? And even with the AEW commentary, right, that he had, and his thoughts about Tony and the shit he said about Jack Perry, I still don't think he said anything crazy. It's not anything that we either didn't speculate. It's not anything that we didn't know. And it's also been some of the criticisms we've had with AEW, how Tony rather be a friend to these wrestlers than be a fucking boss, you know? And by all means, I'm not saying that CM Punk is innocent in all this either. I'm not saying that. But I think coming out of this interview, at least for me, I can't speak for you, Ryan, but to me, while you could put some blame on Punk, you could put some blame on the Elite, ultimately, the biggest blame goes to Tony. Because when all the issues happen, Tony should have put a stop to it right there. Even when CM Punk himself told Tony, just let me go because this is not going to work. And you still didn't do it. And I get it. It's money, blah, blah, blah. But if you really cared about money, you should change your kind of like your structure on the company, because the way you're running it, it's not going to benefit certain people, especially like a guy like CM Punk. You know, like I said, do I think CM Punk handled things the wrong way? Absolutely. But at the same time, after listening to that interview, I kind of understand a little bit more his frustration. And like I said, you could put some fault on Punk, you could put some fault on the Elite. Ultimately, the biggest person to blame here is Tony. That doesn't make him a bad guy. Even CM Punk said it. Tony Khan is a great guy. And he doesn't want to see the company fail either. He says options is better for the wrestling business. He still has friends in AEW. You know, a lot of people made a big deal about the comments he had for AEW. But it's not like he wished death on the company.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, after this interview, it definitely made me look at AEW in a different light. And honestly, it just seems like a giant mess back there. Mm-hmm. It just seems like Tony, and this is stuff we knew, right? I mean, just based on the reports, Tony has no control back there. He's just everybody's buddy. He's everybody's friend. And obviously, CM Punk said it himself. He's not a boss. And, you know, I completely agree with you. I understand now why CM Punk did some of the things that he did, because he told Tony, you know, he's trying to be responsible. Not even just that. He was like to Tony, he's like, fix this.
Yes.
The Hangman thing. Fix it. Or else if you don't, you're not going to like the way I do it. And there was multiple instances where, you know, obviously CM Punk had to take it, you know, for himself and handle it, because Tony didn't do anything about it. And again, like you said, not that he's a saint in this either. Did Punk handle it the wrong way? Absolutely. I think he even regrets handling things the way he did.
He said it on the interview. He said it with Ariel Helwani. I regret how some of the things ended up happening. And he still even said, I still don't regret my time there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, listen, his time there got him to where he is now, you know? It was just crazy. Like, I figured there was NDAs in place throughout everything during his AEW run. And I was surprised at the amount of stuff he was able to talk about.
He was letting it all hang out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, obviously the Elite stuff, mm-hmm. the backstage brawl, he can't talk about. He has said that. But the Jack Perry stuff, it all in, man. And you know what, man? It just makes me look at Jack Perry in a different light, too, because it's just like, he just seems like he hasn't done anything in this business yet. Like, he just thinks he's, like, hot shit. I love that you said that. Walking around doing what he wants, talking to people the way he wants to talk to them.
I love that you said that, because today I was listening to Bust It Open and Bully Ray, and I know people have their opinions about Bully Ray, but I kind of believe what Bully Ray was saying.
Yeah.
He said that they were at a kind of like a convention out in the UK. He said he went up to Jack Perry and introduced himself and was very complimentary to him. And Jack Perry just kind of big-leaved them. Like, Bully Ray wasn't someone. And this, and I get it. People have their opinions about Bully Ray. But at the end of the day, the guy's a fucking legend. And the guy's a Hall of Famer. And the guy's a veteran in this business.
Yeah.
Regardless how you feel about him.
Yeah.
That's who he is. And the fact, like, Jack Perry said this, like, acted this way toward Bully Ray. And that's why Bully Ray was like, I have no reason not to believe CM Punk. Because I witnessed it myself. And you know what? I believe Bully Ray.
So do I, man. I believe both of them. I mean, listen, everything Punk said in the interview, I believe everything he said. Just because of the way it came off. And just because that's, you know, I could just see this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I 100% believe both of them. And honestly, it's a real shame because I had high hopes for Jungle Boy. You know, I like him as a talent. And I just feel like... he's never going to go anywhere in this business if he continues to act the way.
What are you talking about? He's part of New Japan now. He's part of, House of Torture, bro.
Yeah, well, that's one way to kill your career, huh?
Oh, shit.
Jesus, man.
Oh, God.
I don't know, but I mean, the Punk stuff, you know, going back to that is just, the whole thing was so wild, man. It really is. Yeah. And it really just painted a bad cloud over AEW. And you know, I just feel like things need to change there. You know, I mean, Punk said it's not a real business, you know, they don't care about selling tickets and stuff like that. I mean, listen, they just care about putting on good matches, dream matches every single week. Basically, AEW is Tony Khan's just, you know, dream matches galore everywhere. It's just the matches Tony wants to see, he books. And hey, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. If that's what he wants to do with his company, I mean, he's the one pouring the money into it, right? But how far is that gonna take AEW, you know?
Not like, only how, that, how but let's look at the go? Let's look at the attendance too. Look at where they started, where that first a couple of months before the pandemic hit, they were selling out. Boom, no problem. Okay. They get out of the pandemic, they start continue selling out, right? And then what was it? I think it was probably after it was 2023, because Brawl Out happened 2022. So yeah, once 2023 hit, little by little, you start seeing the momentum just dying down. And because even like during the Punk shenanigans, like when Punk won the title and then he had you had Moxley as the interim or whatever. And even through Brawl Out, they're still drawing attendance pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's once like 2023 hit, then it was just been a rough year for the company.
Yeah. I mean, and it could have something to do with the arenas that they booked too. Maybe after Tony like thinks, you know, they broke the attendance record. He got cocky and he thinks that they're going to, you know, draw these big arenas. So he started booking bigger buildings. I mean, that could be it too. I don't know. But I mean, some of these pictures online, and listen, I'm not that type of guy, right, to really always care about that. Like, I'm watching from home. I don't even know what that side of the arena looks like, you know? As long as the show's good, that's all I care about personally. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's hard to see, you know, when you see those pictures floating around on the internet.
It's rough. It's heartbreaking in a way too, because you don't want to see this company fail, you know? And not for nothing. I get that some of these fucking shithead fans do it because they want the clout and the likes and shit like that. But you're also like, you're not moving the business forward by you attending one of these fucking shows, taking a picture of it and putting it on your social media. Like, what benefit and what good are you fucking doing? Just enjoy the fucking show.
Yeah, I know. That bothers me a lot, too. It's, you know, it's just like, you're not the one that's employed by the company. Like, I don't know why anybody cares about what their ratings are, what, you know, the attendance they do. I mean, just enjoy the shows for what they are while we have them, you know? I don't understand that either.
It's fucking idiotic. It's stupid. But, yeah, you know, just to kind of finish up on the CM Punk stuff, Really enjoyed the interview. And Ariel also said, like, one of the first things he said to him in the beginning of the interview was, like, Punk, you look great. And you look at Punk now, especially, like, the appearances he's made on Raw and stuff. You look Punk now, and you see his face. Compared to how he looked when he was in AEW, just, I mean, I'm talking about face-wise, the man does not look stressed out. He actually looks younger compared to when he was in AEW. When he was in AEW, the man looked stressed out. He looked like he didn't sleep at all. Now, he looks younger. I don't know what's going on there, but he just doesn't look stressed out anymore.
He does need to dye his beard, though. Yeah. He needs just for men on that beard, man. I mean, are you
just a little something, something? He doesn't have to fucking put like some, you know, like shoe polish, you know, like dye on it. But he needs to add a little sign to it.
Clean it up a little bit. It's too much gray, man. I mean, while he does look young, that makes him look older.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but yeah, I mean, he does look much better. I totally agree with you. And overall, the interview was so fantastic. And like you said, good. Shout out to Ariel Helwani. Yeah. He really just knows how to get information out of everybody. You know, like he's a top journalist, and he's not
biased, like you said, either. Because I know,
right?
Like,
I think the guests really respect him.
And you know, a lot of people, especially after like the Tony shit, Tony Khan stuff, that was like a disaster. I think Ariel got typecasted as a WWE shill, but even in that interview with Punk, he didn't bury AEW either. Ariel went on record saying, like, I thought the first 2 years of AEW, I thought they were like they were the best product, you know, when it comes to the wrestling bubble. They were putting out the best shows, you know, and then something changed. It's not like he buried the company. It's so funny because a lot of these fucking people that are like in wrestling media, content creators, or even wrestling fans themselves, right? They think because you're putting over a product, you're automatically, oh, you're just a dick rider for WWE. Oh, no. You just an AEW apologist. Like, why can't I just enjoy my wrestling no matter what the promotion is? Right. And then also because, let's say, if I like AEW and you, Ryan, like WWE, right? And because I might not necessarily like WWE that much, or I prefer AEW, I'm automatically going to be like, man, why are you watching that shit? That shit's fucking garbage. Like, why would I say that to you? If you don't want to watch AEW, okay, cool. Like, that's not going to change anything for me. How does that affect me?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I know. Yeah, I 100% agree. Listen, Punk just told it the way it is, man. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, he just told it the way it is. He and like you said, he wished them well. He has a lot of friends there.
Yep.
But yeah, he told it the way it is. And I'm sure he's not the only one that's going to be telling it the way it is.
1,000%.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot more talents time. You know, with the same exact stories as Punk had.
1,000%. All right. Let's talk about two quick things before we jump into the WrestleMania of it all. By any chance, do you watch the Roman Reigns Legends documentary on AE? Or
I did not.
Did you watch the Bray Wyatt documentary?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I have to find time because they're both 2 hours long.
Dude, I get it. I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but I will say both documentaries was very, very well done. I'll start off with the Roman of it all. You know, watching the Roman Reigns Legends documentary, and I haven't watched none of these Legends or Rivals at all, right? Because it's like, there's only so much wrestling I could take at this point in my life, right? I think you guys, people that still listen to us, right, or even follow us on social media, could tell, like, there has been a big difference on the amount of stuff, like, that I post compared to how it was, like, a year ago or 2 years ago, right? I could say the same thing when it comes to my wrestling intake, right? Like, do I still know what's going on? Yeah. But do I watch everything? No. Like, I skim through SmackDown for, like, anything that has to do with the Bloodline, and that's it. Or, like, if I see, like, okay, there's, like, a lot of action in this match, maybe I should tune in to watch it. I'll watch pieces of it. Raw, I watch, for the most part, the entire show. I watch Dynamite. Collision is an unwatchable show. Don't pay attention to Rampage. Every now and then, I'll watch TNA. Every now and then, I still feel like that's a really good product to watch. But, like, I was telling a buddy of mine not too long ago, you know, a year and some change ago when Fight TV was doing, like, these package deals where you could, like, get an X amount of shows for, like, an annual rate or something like that. I signed up for that because I was watching GCW religiously, right? I can't tell you the last time I watched. Like, I'd rather, you know, not watch that. I'd rather watch like a documentary, like on the Max, or, you know, I watched like all five seasons of X-Men from the 90s so I could watch X-Men 97. Like, I have other interests too, you know, and it can't always be wrestling. So my wrestling intake is just, it's just to a certain extent. But anyways, when I knew that the Roman Reigns Legends, when I knew there was going to be like a Legends episode, I was like, I really need to go out of my way and watch this. And I ended up watching it on Sunday night. And the episode was just fantastic. They told the story the right way. They didn't leave shit out. They said they went through the trials and tribulations with Roman Reigns, going back to when he was young, to his football career that didn't work out because of leukemia, his Shield days, how he was forced down people's throats. They told everything, bro. And when he created the Tribal Chief and he was the head of the table, this is what he envisioned himself this whole time. But he just didn't get the green light for it. And while a lot of people during the pandemic saw this as like, fuck, man, there's no audience here. There's no, you know, I can't hear like the fans. I can't see anything. He took it as an opportunity where he mastered this character that he is today. The whole episode was just fantastic, bro. It's worth watching.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out eventually. I wanted to watch it before WrestleMania on Sunday, this weekend, because I just feel like if he's going to lose the belt, like I would have loved to like watch this beforehand. I'm going to try my best to watch it tomorrow, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. But yeah, I just heard great things about that, as well as the Bray Wyatt documentary too. So it's definitely, they're both on my watch list for sure.
Just some quick things on the Bray Wyatt documentary. I actually ended up watching that last night after Raw. And it was a very emotional, sad, but also you really get even more insight of just how much of a creative genius Wyndham Rotunda was, and how loved he was too, not by only his family, right? Because, you know, he had four children, and, you know, JoJo, and obviously his brother and his sister, and you know, his parents and stuff, but like all his peers loved him too. And everyone that spoke about Bray, it was very difficult to watch. And, you know, both of us has experienced losses in, you know, in our family and stuff. So, you know, it kind of hits like a nerve, you know, watching all this stuff. And, you know, Bray Wyatt, it's one of those, I said it when Bray Wyatt first passed away, Bray Wyatt, as much as he accomplished in his career, right? Because he did have some really, really great accomplishments. I still don't feel like he peaked as a character. And that's crazy to say, because he's had so different versions of himself, whether it's the Firefly Funhouse or the Fiend or the Eater of the Worlds and the Wyatt family, and, you know, the White Rabbit version of it with Uncle Howdy, which is ultimately his brother. But I still, even with all of that, I still don't think he peaked as a character. So to me, I always look at Bray Wyatt as like one of those what ifs. What more could he have done if he would even peaked, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely feel the same way. And you know, it's also because, you know, when he won the WWE Championship, he only held it for like a month. And yeah. I don't know, I just feel like he never really truly got booked the way he should have been booked, you know? Like every time you think he like hits, you know, his stride, there's always something that goes downhill after that, you know? Like the Fiend character was hot and then it went downhill. You know, obviously holding the championship for only a month before losing it and then never got it back. It's just a real shame. And yeah, it is one of those what ifs, you know. And yeah, we'll never know. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching that. Yeah. Maybe I will hold off on that just because I know how powerful of a documentary that is. So definitely we'll check that out probably after I get back from Philly. Looking forward to it. But yeah, just a really sad story. Yeah.
1000%, man. But definitely check it out, bro. It was an amazing watch. But let's get into WrestleMania. Let's get into WrestleMania. Not the easiest transition here, but let's get into WrestleMania. So when are you getting to Philly? And besides both nights of Mania, what else do you plan on doing Philly weekend?
So I actually drive in. I'll be in AC on Thursday, spending the night in AC with a couple of friends. Okay. Just because it's close to Philly. So.
Your brother Nick's going too?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. It'll be me, him, and a couple of our other buddies. Some of them that you've met.
Okay.
Some new guys joining the crew. So yeah, it'll be a lot of us. We'll be spending the night in AC, and then we'll be in Philly from Friday to Monday. So, Friday we actually have the WWE World. I did buy a ticket to that just because, you know, it's fun. It's like that. It's kind of like WrestleMania access. If you've ever done that gimmick, it's, mm-hmm. you know, they got meet and greets, and which I don't really care too much about, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just a fun fan.
And you got to get your merch, bro. You got to get your merch.
And you got to get the merch, of course. Yeah.
Big
yeah,
merch 100%. Guy.
You know me. Yeah. Big merch guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then other than that, I am doing NXT on Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
And then WrestleMania, obviously, Saturday night, WrestleMania Sunday, and then I'm going to be driving home Monday, so no Raw for me.
Are you doing SmackDown?
I'm going to do SmackDown if the tickets drop.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to check the tickets maybe 2 hours before the show, see where we're at. If I can get a cheap ticket, I'm going to go to SmackDown. But right now, resale, man, for Raw and SmackDown, I mean, it's insane, these prices. I mean, Raw was just in Brooklyn last night, and you know, obviously they said it's the highest domestic gate in Raw history, which is absolutely unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
They've had like 13 consecutive sellouts now.
I know.
I mean, the product is so freaking hot.
It's crazy when you see that little icon every time. It's like the X amount of consecutive like sellouts, and you see like the little icon of Raw and SmackDown. It's nuts. Like, this is like Attitude Era numbers.
Yeah, dude, the product has not been this hot like in ages, and I've never seen the tickets like this before. I mean, usually, you know, I looked for Raw last night. I mean, usually you can get like a upper level ticket from like anywhere from $50 to $75, yeah. Yep. The cheapest.
Yep.
Dude, you couldn't get anything cheaper than $180 up in the two hundred levels.
How insane!
And
these
are like deep rows, like row 20. You know, row 20. Like. Crazy, man. Like, it's unbelievable. So SmackDown in Philly is a hot ticket this Friday.
Oh yeah.
And
oh yeah,
you know, unless the tickets drop, I don't know if I'm gonna be at SmackDown, but TBD as of right now.
And Raw's gonna be in Philly too, right, the following night?
Yeah Raw's gonna be there. I haven't checked those prices, but I'm probably just gonna drive home. Right. I don't think I'm gonna stay for that.
Okay, cool. So I will be getting to Philly on Friday. I will be meeting Iridian and Low Friday. I will be getting there Friday. And then I think we're just going to just chill, maybe do like lunch or something. And then we're going to do Ring of Honor Supercard later on that night. I believe they're going to, after that, they're going to go to For the Culture, which is in the Collective, GCW. And then I will be meeting up with my lady, with my girlfriend. And I don't know what we're going to do in Philadelphia. We'll probably, you know, just enjoy the night. You know, we'll probably end up somewhere. Who's to say?
She's gonna meet you in Philly.
Yeah, she's gonna drive up to Philly, and Saturday, she's gonna attend night one of WrestleMania with us, which will be great. And then during the day, we're probably gonna attend WrestleCon. We're probably just gonna, you know, I don't know if I want to meet anyone, but I always like going to, if I get a chance to go to one of these conventions, just to see the different merch they got and like art pieces and stuff like that. I'm into that. Who's to say? Maybe I'll end up meeting someone. Who's to fucking say, right? But that's the plan as of now. Unfortunately, she won't be in Philly for night two. But then for night two, we do plan on going to WWE The World that day before Mania.
Nice.
So right now that's the plan. Oh yeah, and after night one, we are gonna go to the clusterfuck.
Oh, is that at midnight?
Yeah, that's at midnight. So we're gonna go there.
Oh geez, man. You are a wild man.
But you know what? This is very toned down compared to
For you it is very toned down, but still that midnight show, man, that's always just like a different animal. Like you think it's cool. You think like, oh, you could do it. And then like, it's 1 a.m. and you're like, I want to kill myself.
Well, I feel like the only reason that I have like a different mindset about like doing the show after Mania is, one, it's a Saturday. Two, mm-hmm. I've only done Mania and then a show the night before. Like, it's not like how I used to be where it'd be like,
yeah,
I got to go to this show. And then from there, I got to run to this other venue to do this show. Yeah. Like, I did that in New Orleans. I did it over here when it was in New York and New Jersey, which I was fucking miserable. I did it in Dallas a couple years ago. Like, I've done the Mania everything. I gotta go to this convention. I gotta go here. I gotta go to WrestleCon. I gotta meet. I gotta go to Ring of Honor. I gotta go do this. Gotta go do that. I've done all that shit. I'm not built for that shit anymore. So, so I'm gonna just do Ring of Honor. Enjoy my Ring of Honor, and then Saturday, just a chill day. We do night one of Mania, and then afterwards we go to the clusterfuck. Which, listen, it's GCW, so you know it's like a different animal as itself. You got the clusterfuck battle royal, and I think they're doing like a Punjabi prison match. So.
Is it spring break? Is it spring break? It's Friday night,
which is going head to head with Ring of Honor,
right?
And obviously and SmackDown and you know the Hall of Fame and stuff. And then I guess GCW decided to do like another spring break, so technically it's like spring break night two, if you will. But this is where they're gonna do the clusterfuck and also the Punjabi prison match.
Punjabi prison match. Is this in the 2300 arena?
No. It's
or is this?
I can't think of the venue right now, but it's another venue that's like about. I think it's about like 10 minutes away from where the Eagles play, Lincoln Financial.
Oh, okay.
So nice. So we're gonna do that. So that's right now my WrestleMania plan. So I know you. I know you said you're calling me a madman, but it's very toned down compared to previous years.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I agree. I did the same thing. New Orleans and Orlando. New Orleans was another animal. Three different shows
on top of the intoxication in New Orleans too.
I mean, like, I'm not really. You know, even WrestleCon, like, I've done WrestleCon for so many years, and I'm just like, I don't even know if I want to even do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, the plan is really just NXT Saturday afternoon, WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2 on Sunday, and then TBD on SmackDown Friday. So really just keeping it mainly to the WWE stuff. No indies, no, you know, Ring of Honor.
You don't even have to even say that. We know no Ring of Honor for you. We know.
Goes without saying. Hey, I did go last year, though.
You did. All right, bro, let's get into this card. So let's get into night one. So when they announced the lineup for both nights yesterday, and I got so pumped up when I saw the lineup for night one, because I already knew, like the card for Mania is, like, legit. Like, it's probably one of the best cards in a very, very long time. And that's not discrediting, like, the past two WrestleManias, because I thought both the last year's WrestleMania and the one before that, I thought were really, really good too. But this card just seems like very, very heavy. And I looked at the card for night one, and I'm like, this is great. Because the last time, the first wrestling show that I took my girlfriend was World's End in AEW. And that was a congratulation in itself, because that pay-per-view was god-awful, okay? That pay-per-view was atrocious. So I'm glad that now, right, she's going to witness, like, a legit, strong pay-per-view where I hope she's going to enjoy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, if she could sit through World's End, I mean, this is going to be a breeze for her. And WrestleMania is a different animal, man. Like, 1,000%. Just the vibe and the atmosphere of being in that stadium with that sea of people, it's just, it's on a different level from any other show. So she'll 100% have a different, you know, opinion on going to shows after this.
All right, let's get into it. Let's go with Uso versus Uso, Jay versus Jimmy. I will say this before I give you my prediction on who I think should win this. The entrance for Jay Uso is going to be fucking insane. The fucking hand gimmick? Oh, forget it, bro. Pat McAfee's gonna fucking line up that whole Lincoln Financial Stadium to do that shit. It's gonna be just visually, it's gonna look insane.
Yeah, that's gonna be hilarious to see Pat. I always pop huge when I see Pat on the announce table, doing it along with Jay. Yeah, it is gonna be a sight to see, man. And who would have ever thought that Jay Uso would be as over as he is?
He really is, bro. He really is. The fans fucking love him, man. And listen. All credit to him, right? Because he obviously had to play his part too, but man, the guy is just so fucking over. And not to spoil too much, but like in the Roman Reigns documentary, they kind of showed clips of like when Jay was feuding with Roman, like back in the day during like the pandemic era. And there's this one line where Jay tells Roman, it was on a SmackDown, where Jay tells Roman, he was like, oh, you, Oos, when they look at you, they call you the main event. They call you the head of the table. You know what they call me, Uso? The other brother. The other Uso. Like, that's what he was always known for. Like, the guy never really had a character.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's unbelievable to see. I mean, yeah, I credit to both of them, honestly, for obviously making something out of, you know, like themselves outside of the tag team, you know. I mean, obviously they both became big time single stars, obviously Jay more so than Jimmy. Mm-hmm. But Jimmy's doing his thing with the Bloodline, you
yeah,
know,
1,000%.
Like he's doing his thing as a singles guy. So I mean, this match in the city of brotherly love, like it's a cool thing to, you know, you never really thought this match would ever happen one on one. And I remember last year, I think it was last year, Ariel Helwani actually did an interview with both Usos,
yeah.
I think, right,
yep.
leading up to WrestleMania 39.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were talking about like how a dream match would be them going one on one against each other
yeah.
at WrestleMania. And like 1 year later, we're getting it. And I think that's pretty cool.
What are the odds of that, bro? What are the fucking odds of that? Okay, so to me, I think Jay should win this match. But there's a part of me that feels, just based on like what's going to happen in the main event of night one between The Rock, Roman, Cody, and Seth, I think that's going to transition to the next night. So it would not shock me if Jimmy goes over where he kind of takes out his brother. It would not shock me if this happens. I'm still going to say Jay, but it wouldn't shock me if the Jimmy picking up a win and takes out his brother. So he won't play a factor until the following night. It wouldn't surprise me if this happens.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good theory. I wasn't thinking about that myself. I could definitely see that happening. I'm going to go with Jey Uso, though, here. I just feel like he's over like Rover, man. I mean,
oh, yeah.
This dude is he's the real deal. He's one of the top baby faces in the company right now. So I have a hard time seeing him lose. But, I mean, your theory is definitely not, you know, out of left field at all.
All right, this was like not random, but it was just like, okay, this is where we're going. And it happened this past week on SmackDown. So we're going to get Rey Mysterio and the new member of the LWO, Dragon Lee, versus the combination of, you know, I think Santos and Dom are going to win this. One, because I think Dom's going to get his win back from last year when he faced his father at WrestleMania and Ray got the win. And two, I think we're going to get a Carlito heel turn here, because if you watched on SmackDown, Carlito didn't really seem too, what's the word I'm looking for? Excited that Dragon Lee not only joined the LWO, but seemed like maybe Carlito was thinking like, hey, maybe I should be the guy tagging with you.
Yeah, no, totally, 100%. I mean, I think the picture, the meme was going around of Carlito's face after, you know, after that took place. So I think that makes a ton of sense. I think, you know, Dom getting the win over his father makes sense in a tag match scenario. It's really cool to see Dragon Lee in this spot. You know, I never really thought this would be a thing, but I'm here for it. I think this match, you know, to a lot of people is like probably a bathroom break match.
Not
I think
me.
It'll end up being a
Not
lot of fun.
Me. Not for me.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. So I agree with your theory, though. I think Santos and Dom pick up the win.
I will just be, you know, just for shits and giggles here. You know, last year when we were talking about Dominic and Ray having this match, and I remember we were so like, remember how we were talking about like, what the fuck? What a piece of shit Dom is. Like, how can you hit your own father? Remember how we were like, fuck, like, why would you do that? And we talked about like the WrestleMania match, how great it was and blah, 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 right? You know, a year later, I'm starting to have a little bit of a different feeling, okay? I'm like, you know what? Maybe Dom was onto something. Maybe Rey Mysterio is a piece of shit. Because, you know, you beat your son's ass at WrestleMania, whatever. You could say that Dominic had it coming. But then you look at how the LWO thing played out, right? Did any of these guys really get better under Rey Mysterio? Not so much. Then Carlito shows up and you kind of push Santos away. Now Santos has to be like, fuck you, Ray, right? He turns on Ray. Not only was he a deadbeat father, but he's also a deadbeat friend. And then he's doing the same thing to Carlito. So not for nothing, I think Rey Mysterio's a piece of shit here. I think technically he's the heel because he's treating his friends like garbage.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a deadbeat dad, a deadbeat friend. I mean, listen.
A deadbeat
not a
leader?
Good luck for the Hall of Famer.
Oh, God. Okay, all right. We also seen Jade Cargill. She's officially part of the SmackDown roster. And we're going to get Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair, Naomi and Jade Cargill, aka the Power Buff Girls.
Yeah, this is a badass team right here, man.
They're gonna destroy Damage Control. This is gonna be a squash match.
This is easy. Yeah, this is very easy. And I'm looking forward to seeing Jade here, man. I mean, she looked great just in that one segment at the end of the show when she was just taking down every member of Damage Control. She looks like a complete badass. So I'm here for this. I think this will surprise a lot of people.
I just look at, to me, this is going to be a squash. And the reason why is, like, you look at these three athletic women, and this is not taking anything away from Kairi, Asuka, and Dakota Kai. But I'm just talking about the size here. The size is a big difference here. I just feel like they're going to run through them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I hope it's not a squash just because, like, I just think all these women deserve more. You know, they deserve a lot of time. Well, not a lot of time, but they deserve at least like 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes to show off what they can do, you know, especially on WrestleMania when you have two nights. You know,
they are going to show what they're going to do. They're just going to destroy these women for 10 minutes.
Hey, if it goes that duration, then
like, it's going to be very Brock Lesnar versus John Cena SummerSlam, like something like that. Just fucking do every fucking move possible to these women.
Oh, man. Damage Control will continue to be damaged.
Damage. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 1,000%. Okay. But yes, Bianca, Jade, and Naomi are definitely going to pick up the win here. All right. Gunther defending the IC Championship versus Sami Zayn. Listen, I love Sami Zayn, but there's a part of me that I don't think he's going to pick up this win. I think Gunther's going to retain here, especially because you got two UK shows happening later on this year. You have, they just announced, I think today, the Castle gimmick? What is it?
Clash at the Castle.
Clash at the Castle. They announced that. And then you have the big, the big Germany show happening. I forget what's the name of that Germany show? I forget. I can't think of the name right now. But yeah, you got the big German show too happening. So I think Gunther's going to still continue this reign. Listen, if Sami defeats him and he dethrones Gunther, you're not going to hear a complaint from me. But I just don't think Gunther's going to drop it.
Yeah, no shot. No shot in hell Sami's winning this. I think it's just going to continue playing into the story of Sami Zayn being the underdog. And I think, a possible Money in the Bank win is in the cards for him this summer. And then, eventually he'll win the World Heavyweight title. But I don't think he's winning the IC title here.
You remember maybe like the last episode we did, or maybe the episode prior to that, when we were talking about just WrestleMania and stuff, we were like, you know what we need, bro? We need a good ladder match. Well, what happened. Look what fucking happened. Now we got a multi-man ladder match. And, you know, I'm a sucker for ladder matches.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to get the Judgment Day defending those tag titles against DIY, The Awesome Truth, The New Day, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, and New Catch Republic. So when this match got announced, right, I was thinking, like, you know, they're telling the story with, like, R-Truth and the Judgment Day. So, like, wouldn't it be, like, poetic justice if, like, the Austin Truth just win those tag titles, right? I mean, that would be a pretty cool moment, right? R-Truth is super over. So how dope would that be? But then I started thinking, I'm like, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if, because of this ladder match, they decide to separate these titles. Because what if they have, like, both sets of, like, the red and the blue hanging, and you have a moment where two individuals from two different teams are pulling on the titles, and one grabs the red one and one gets the blue one, and we just separate the titles again that way?
Yeah, well, Michael Cole confirmed that both sets of tag titles will be up there, and you have to grab both. So when he said that last night, that made me immediately think that that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to separate the titles. I think maybe the Awesome Truth win the first set, whether it's SmackDown or Raw, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And then R-Truth gets so excited that he just pulls one set down, and then he, like, runs away because he thinks he won. And then, like, he won one set, and that's it. That's all that matters. And then, like, another team wins the second set. You know, they keep fighting for a little bit, and another team wins. Who that other team is going to be? I don't know. I'm hoping it's DIY. But I mean, really, honestly, I don't really care who wins. I mean, that's one of the best things about this is because like there's so many great teams here,
right,
that all deserve it.
Right. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna agree with you on that. I think Judgment Day is gonna lose both set of titles. I think it's safe to say that Awesome Truth is gonna get one of those titles. And then, you know what? I wouldn't necessarily hate any other. And this is saying a lot, too, because you already know my feelings about Austin Theory. But you know what? I wouldn't even hate seeing Austin Theory and Grayson Waller get those titles because I'm a big Grayson Waller guy. So,
yeah,
I'll be cool with any of these teams kind of getting the other set of titles.
Yeah, me too, man. Like I said, I don't think you could really lose in this scenario. Yeah. I think the only team I just really don't need to see with another reign is the New Day.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm cool with any scenario.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. Rhea Ripley defending the women's world title against Becky Lynch. You know, I think Rhea announced something. I think she said on Ariel Helwani that she's been dealing with some like type of injury, which it kind of, I didn't notice that a couple weeks ago when she had like something on her hand. She had like some type of like wrist gimmick on her hand. So I was like, I wonder if there's something going on there. But, you know, you can make the argument that Becky Lynch should win this, but I think Rhea Ripley's going to retain here. For whatever reason, in recent months, her reign hasn't been, you know, I'm not going to say it hasn't been bad, but it just kind of, she's been involved in so much other stuff, right? Where, like, the reign has kind of felt secondary in a way. But I still don't think it's time for Rhea Ripley to drop that title. So I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley here.
Yeah, I hope Rhea retains. I don't think Rhea should lose this belt for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, unless there's somebody worthy, you know, and I think Becky Lynch is worthy, but we do not need another Becky Lynch title run right now. As much as I love Becky, that's just unnecessary and not needed. I hope Rhea retains, and I think it's going to happen. And hey, I would have her hold on to this belt for, you know, I'm not going to say have a Roman run with it because obviously nobody's going to be doing that ever again, most likely. But I would have her hold on to this belt for longer than a year.
Yeah. I'm here with you, man. I don't think it's time for Rhea Ripley to drop that title yet. And listen, I love Becky Lynch too. And hypothetically speaking, let's say if Becky was to beat Rhea, I'm not going to complain about it. I'll be happy for Becky, but I just still don't think it's Rhea's time.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think it's going to be a good match, though. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But I feel like Rhea's retaining.
Yeah, listen to all these matches we just like went off right now. This is night one. We still haven't even gotten to the main event yet. And just looking at this card for night one, I'm like really excited because of the matches we're going to get, but also like, my girl's going to actually enjoy like a really, really good show because these matches are great.
Yeah. This card looks fantastic, man.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the main event. We got the Bloodline, The Rock, and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. If the Bloodline wins, that means the main event of night two will be Bloodline's rules. Before we get into that, because I think we're both going to have the same prediction about this match. Jesus Christ, the last like 2-3 weeks of storytelling for this story has been fantastic with last week's Monday Night Raw, which the whole Raw felt like an Attitude Era episode. You got The Rock beating the shit out of Cody Rhodes, giving him some color, cursing up a fucking storm. I thought at one point he was going to throw him over the gimmick. You know, that's what I thought he was going to do to Cody Rhodes. And yeah, this last night on Monday Night Raw in Brooklyn, once again, The Rock and Roman Reigns gets the better of Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, and they were whipping up a storm. It was, they got some good heat, man, and Roman Reigns just talking mad shit. I fucking loved how Monday Night Raw ended last night.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. This story has been awesome. The Rock has just been killing this role.
So good, dude.
You know,
so good.
And Bloodline getting the upper hand, man, 2 weeks in a row. So, you know, I don't think that means anything anymore, right? Like, back in the day, didn't that used to mean, like, you know, if somebody gets the advantage at the go-home show, you know, it's not
that'll
mean
nothing
I don't really
anymore.
Think it means anything in this case, yeah.
No.
I think, I think Roman and The Rock are winning. ...we can to make that win that much sweeter.
1,000%.
I just think that makes the most sense. And I don't know, man. What do you think? You think... You think Roman pins Cody here?
That's, you know what? I think I don't think Roman gets the pin here. I think The Rock's going to get the pin here.
You think The Rock
is definitely pinning, whether it's Cody or Seth. I don't think Roman's going to get the pin. I think that might, maybe no friction, right? Because ultimately the Bloodline's going to win, right? And then it becomes Bloodline rules for the main event the following night. But it's going to be one of those moments. Maybe we're not going to see nothing crazy, but it's going to be one of those moments where The Rock's going to get the pin. And maybe Roman just gives Rock a look, you know?
Yeah.
Like a look.
Yeah.
Because it's like, who's really the guy? Is it the tribal chief or the final boss?
Yeah. And you know, if Rock ends up pinning Cody, you know, that could set up Rock versus Cody later on. You know, mm-hmm. Rock says, oh, I pinned you night one. Let me get a championship match. So, yeah, I could definitely see that.
All right. Let's move on to night two. So night two, I'm looking at the card right now. Not a bad card, right? But for whatever reason, besides the main event, well, besides the two world title matches, I will say it seems like more of a B-side. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying night one is so stacked where you look at night two, besides the two world title matches, you're like, oh, it's still a good card, but it's not like night one. Do you feel the same way?
I do, and it's funny. Ever since they started this two-night WrestleMania, night one has always been superior than night two every single year. I think the first year was 37, WrestleMania 37. You look back, night one was better than night two. 38, night one was way better than night two. 39, night one was way better than night two, and it looks like the same thing can happen here.
Okay, let's it's true, though. It's true. I'm laughing because it's true. They just announced this match this week. They announced Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, and AOP. It's a street fight, so you know this is going to be like a lot of crazy shit, which I'm happy. I'm happy that Karrion Kross is going to get this moment because, like, you know, say what you want about his booking and stuff like that, but He went on an interview a couple of years ago, and I remember it stuck out to me, especially when because he posts like a lot of positive shit on social media and stuff, and it really stuck out to me today. It reminded me, or was it yesterday? I forget, but it reminded me around WrestleMania 37. This was like the WrestleMania when things started opening back up, and it was like the first like live crowd after the pandemic. Karrion Kross was telling, he was still with the company at the time. Karrion Kross was telling Scarlett, right, because they were sitting in the stands during that show, and they're like, yo, one day that's gonna be us, one day that gonna be us. And then they get released, and he was like very like disappointed about that, and he was just like, oh, well, there goes my opportunity. So for him to get this moment, I'm kind of happy for the guy. As for the match in itself, I know it's gonna be crazy, whatever. I really don't care who wins here. I'm fine with either team, but just for, you know, for prediction's sake, I'll just say that Bobby and the Street Profits are gonna pick up the win.
Yeah, I mean, this is really hard to predict, right? Because, I mean, it could really go either way. And I'm, you know, I don't really have too much of an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
It is good, like you said, to see Karrion Kross and AOP get on this card. I mean, listen, you always love to see when guys are on the WrestleMania card that, mm-hmm. you know, have never been on it before. Yep. You know, like, you know, everybody really deserves it. Well, I wouldn't say everybody deserves it, because I think that's, to get on the WrestleMania card, I feel like, you know, not everybody should be on it, because it makes you work that much harder the year after to try and get on it.
Yep.
But it is cool to see, in this case, guys like Karrion Kross, guys like DIY,
yeah.
you know, Ciampa and Gargano, mm-hmm. you know, guys who have never been on the show before getting an opportunity to shine. And that's why I don't think matches like this, you know, a lot of people look at this like, oh, this is the SmackDown main event. Yeah, probably. But like, at least it gets these guys on the card.
And to them, it means, you know, something.
Of course. So, yeah. It should be fun. Like you said, I think the street fight gimmick definitely piques my interest in this.
Oh yeah, there's gonna be a lot of EC. Fight, there's gonna be a lot of ECW chants, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, 100%.
All right, a match that, you know, we both weren't too high on, but I will say some of the vignettes they've been doing have piqued my interest a little bit, and that's LA Knight versus AJ Styles. You know, when we started seeing like the teases, and we're like, oh, this is going to be the match of Mania. I was just, oh, like, oh, fuck. I'm like, really? Come on. Or this is what we're doing with AJ? Really? Come on, right? But then when they did like the whole the invasion of the house when LA Knight showed up to AJ's house, I don't know, that kind of like it made me kind of think of the Attitude Era. I ain't gonna lie, and I kind of enjoy that little segment and just what we saw there. So, you know, I still would rather see AJ in another match. I'm gonna be quite honest with you, but who's to say? Maybe this match is gonna surprise us. You know, if I'm speaking out of fandom, I want AJ Styles to win, but I just don't see that happening. I see LA Knight picking up a big win. But, yeah, that's it. That's all I really got for this match.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, you know, the stuff they've been doing, the story they've been telling, the invasion angle with getting the police involved, I think, you know, that was cool. And, you know, I think both guys are working hard to try and make this thing
matter.
Something, you know? Yeah. So I guess, yeah, I don't have the same opinion as I did, you know, back when we were talking about it.
Oh.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm also not, like, too thrilled about it either.
Right.
But I do agree with you. I think LA Knight picks up the win. And like you said, who's to say this doesn't end up being a fun match?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be boring, you know? It's just...
I mean, yeah, both guys are pretty solid. You know, I think they could, you know, put on a good show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. Maybe it'll surprise us.
Okay. Triple threat match for the United States Championship. We got Logan Paul defending the United States title against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. As a fan, first of all, I think this match is going to be great. But as a fan, I would love to see Kevin Owens win this. But I think Logan Paul is going to retain.
Yeah, I think Logan's retaining too. I just don't see why he would drop the title right now, especially mm-hmm. to, you know, these two guys. Like, no offense to them, obviously, but I just don't think neither guy needs it. I think, you know, Logan Paul is just the perfect guy to be holding this belt. And, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see this. I was looking forward to Logan Paul, Randy Orton one-on-one. I thought we were going to get that. But obviously, I'm not complaining about Kevin Owens being involved here. I love KO. He's one of my favorites and deserves to be on the card. And he's been feuding with Logan Paul for a while now, too. So the triple threat makes sense in this case. Think this match is going to be really awesome. And I agree. I think Logan Paul retains.
Couldn't we just have two ladder matches for WrestleMania? Couldn't we just have Logan Paul defend the United States title in a ladder match? Throw AJ, LA Knight in there. If you want to throw Solo Sikoa in there too, fuck it, let's throw him in there. You know?
Yeah.
Couldn't we have done that?
This would have been a real good one.
Oh, God. All right. We got Io Sky defending the WWE Women's Championship against Bayley. I think this is going to be a sleeper. I you know, the story that they've been telling, it hasn't been bad. It's just one of those things right now where, you know, the Cody and Seth and Rock and Roman shit is just so powerful, right? And it's so impactful where, like, it sometimes overshadows other stuff because the Io and Bayley story hasn't been bad storytelling. It's just been kind of like not people are really focused on that. But I do think this is probably going to be, like, one of the sleeper matches of the whole weekend.
Yeah, you know, listen, I just feel like they do Bayley so dirty. You know,
I mean,
she won the Rumble. Oh. She's not featured on any of the WrestleMania posters, not featured on any of the advertisements.
Yeah.
And yeah, this story has taken a back seat compared to the others, and mm-hmm. it's a shame. And, but I agree. I think it's going to be a really good match. Yeah. I think there's a great story there, obviously.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if this match is better than Rhea and fucking Becky.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I think these two are going to have a great match, and I think Bayley's going to come out
1,000%.
I think she's going to win the belt, and I mean, I think she should. Listen, nothing against Io, but I think the reign's gone way too long, and it's time for Bayley to hold gold once again. So,
yeah, I'm with you too. Bayley's going to capture this women's title and defeat Io. All right, World Heavyweight Championship. You got Seth Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre. I think this match is going to be fantastic because these two can't have a bad match, all right? Every match they've had, it's been fantastic. So I don't think this is going to be a great match. I think Drew McIntyre wins. Now, this is what I will say. If Drew McIntyre wins and that's it, that means he signed a new deal. If Drew McIntyre wins and Damian Priest cashes in, that means Drew didn't sign a new deal. That's my prediction.
Yeah, listen, I think Drew's winning too, just because of the CM Punk stuff. And listen, they just announced the Clash at the Castle is in Scotland. I just feel like him.
He's going to get that moment.
Yeah. Getting the moment to win the belt in front of fans that he ever got. and then he's going to hold the title going into that event. I think he's signing a new deal. I don't think they're going to put the belt on him and or even have him in this match if they didn't have a feeling that he was going to resign with a new deal. I mean, where's he going to go? I don't think he's itching to go to AEW. I mean, you know, so I think he's going to sign a new deal. Just think, you know, I guess it's just coming down to money and years and stuff like that. But I think he's gonna win the belt here. He's gonna re-sign. He's gonna have an unbelievable feud with CM Punk when he comes back.
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna hold the belt, you know, going into Scotland, and you know, all's gonna be well on his end. So, and I guess Seth Rollins, you know, he's pretty banged up.
He's gonna get taken out. He's gonna get taken out. Yep. He's gonna get taken out somehow, some way in this match where you feel like all the odds are against Cody Rhodes, which leads us to the main event: Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, the GOAT. God mode himself defending the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship against Cody Rhodes. This match, if you disagree with me, you disagree with me. I expect shenanigans in this fucking match in the best way possible, right? I think there's going to be a shit ton of interference by the Bloodline. And I think what's going to end up happening is Seth Rollins is going to be taken out. Jey Uso is going to be taken out. So who the fuck is Cody going to get? And I think we're going to get John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That is my prediction. And somehow, some way, right? I kind of have mixed feelings because I feel like we're going to get somehow of a turn or like just issues between Roman Reigns and The Rock. I don't want Rock to cost Roman the match because I want it to be like an even playing field. Where it's like you have Austin battling with The Rock, and then you have Cena battling with Solo Sikoa and Jimmy or whatever it is, right? Something down those lines. Where it leads to Cody getting the ultimate win on Roman, even though there was like interference from like both sides or whatever, right? Like I want Cody to pin Roman, like not I don't want to see what Roman did to Cody and Cody doing it to Roman. You know what I'm saying? Like last year. I want Cody to get a clean win, even with like the no DQ and the Bloodline rules, etc. But what I would like to see is after Cody does dethrone Roman Reigns, maybe you see The Rock turn on Roman afterwards. Or maybe you see The Rock take the lei that Roman wears around his neck and just walks away with it. Where it teases like, okay, there's friction there now. Or maybe, who's the fucking say? After the success of that Roman Reigns documentary on fucking Sunday night, Roman just looks at Cody and shakes his fucking hand and walks away, and then The Rock just gets disturbed by that. I mean, that could be a possibility too. But I do think Cody's gonna fucking finish the story on Sunday, and I can't wait to fucking be there.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. I think it's gonna be just an overbooked.
Oh yeah.
I don't even want to say mess. I
mean, it's gonna be overbooked to the best way possible.
I mean, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be one of the most... I think it's going to be one of the craziest WrestleMania main events we've ever seen.
It might be match of the year. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the match is like an hour long.
Yeah, all right. Give it as much time as it needes. It's going to be like the Avengers taking down Thanos.
It's going to be like seeing Thanos. It's going to be Endgame.
Dude, can you imagine that pop when the glass breaks and Stone Cold Steve Austin walks out?
Insane,
or when John Cena comes out? Like,
Insane.
It's going to be absolutely nuts on every level. And I agree. I think they need a level playing field, and it needs to look like Cody beats Roman fair and square without help, without shenanigans. Like Cody can't look weak here. He has to look strong by going over, because, you know, not even just for his own sake, but you have to have the person who beats Roman, who ends this streak, to look strong and look good doing it. You can't have Roman lose to a guy who looks weak in the process.
Right.
So he needs to look strong. And I fully believe that Triple H knows exactly what he needs to do and what needs to be done. And I think this is going to be a spectacle. I really do. I think this is going to be just one of the craziest matches
that we're going to witness live ever in life.
Oh my god, when Cody finishes that story, man, what a freaking moment that's going to be, just because of how built up it's been.
Oh, 1,000%.
I can't wait to be there either, man. It's truly going to be, I think it's truly going to be one of the most special moments, I think, that I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. In all my years of attending shows, just because I've never really cared so much about something. And I think, you know, a lot of people can agree with me. I'm sure you can as well. That,
1,000%.
You know, we all feel like this is like our story too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's crazy. So I can't wait. Dude, I can't wait to see what happens.
I'm getting fucking chills just like talking about this right
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling Iridian Low, like, if I get a chance, and listen, I'm wearing my Cody Rhodes shirt that day. Listen, if I get my hands on a Cody tattoo, I'm putting that shit on my neck. Like, I'm full-blown supporting my Cody Rhodes, you know? And this is no disrespect to the Tribal Chief, because you know I'm a Roman guy, and I'll be raising my one during his entrance, but it's Cody's time. Like, we have to do it. Like, it's just this story, bro. This story, you know, I can't... And we talked about this, I think, like, when we went on, like, a tirade on, like, how we thought that they were just pivoting, but... I can't think of a wrestling story that has meant so much to me like this Cody Rhodes story. I can't think of one right now. And I'm not saying there hasn't been stories that haven't meant anything to me. That's not what I'm saying. But this story just, I don't know, man. This story does, it hits me.
Yeah, dude, I think I'd mentioned it on one of the last few shows that we recorded. I haven't cared about something this much in wrestling, like, that has really, like, resonated with me since, like, Kenny Omega was on his chase for the IWGP title in New Japan.
Yeah.
And then even as far as back as, like, Daniel Bryan, you know, winning the world title at WrestleMania, that's another moment, too, that, like, resonated with me that I cared about so much that I felt like I could relate to, you know? It's just very rare to have these type of moments. And, you know, when wrestling makes you feel a certain way, like, it doesn't always make you feel that way, but Cody Rhodes has made everybody feel something, you know, throughout
the
entire
run. It's very telling too. Very telling too. When you see it on TV, when The Rock, the final boss playing a heel, gets cheered, but the second he's beating on Cody, the second he's doing something like just malicious to Cody Rhodes or talking down to Cody Rhodes, the crowd instantly turns on him.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, the run Cody's on is just unbelievable, and it's just really crazy to see where he's at now. I mean, he's the biggest babyface that WWE has had since John Cena was you know, full-time.
And we made it clear that John Cena was a babyface of Jay's.
Yeah, fair.
Okay, I just want to ask you this one question, just for comedy purposes. You know, I'm not saying I want this to happen, but I have to ask.
Oh God, what if Roman retains?
Yes.
I knew that was coming.
Yes, you know how to ask, bro. I've been on record, to my friends, and I'll tell you this, and I'll say that obviously we're doing this podcast, so I'll say it on here too. I truly believe. It, with every ounce of me, if Roman Reigns walks out of night two as champion, I truly believe Philadelphia will riot. And I do not want to be part of that.
Yeah, listen, I can't even give you an answer of what my reaction would be if Roman retained. Like, I'll be honest, I don't know how I can answer that.
You don't want to even think about it.
Right, because I just have not come up with a scenario where that's going to be happening.
I think Philadelphia would riot, bro.
There's just no way. There's just no way. No way.
If Roman walks out of Philadelphia night two as still champion, I think it's going to be worse than when Roman won the Rumble in 2015.
Yeah, I could totally see that, 100%.
It's not going to happen, Ryan. This time around, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
no, it's not going to happen.
Man.
It's impossible.
Don't manifest that.
No, it's
don't
not going to happen.
It.
It's impossible for it to happen. No way it's happening. But that's it, man. We did an episode, a very positive episode. I'm very happy that we did an episode just to get ready for WrestleMania. I will be seeing you there at some point. I don't know if it will be Friday night, but during the weekend, you know, we will touch base and hopefully we'll meet up and stuff and, you know, just catch up and talk shop. And I'm excited, man. You know, it finally, WrestleMania, the feels of WrestleMania finally hit me actually yesterday. Because prior to this is like, I was just like, I'm excited for like the matches that I'm going to watch and stuff like that. But it didn't hit me until yesterday.
Yeah, I think for me it's gonna hit, it's gonna hit like tomorrow after the last shift of work. You know, get off and you know, I'm off for the next few days, and I'm just like full blown mania mode. And yeah, it's the best feeling, man. It's the best weekend of the year, and you know, I hope everybody enjoys it whether they're in Philly or not, because I remember years ago, but before I started attending Mania, man, I still loved watching it from home and, you know, watching all the shows, and, you know, you just get that excitement feeling. So it's the best, man. And it's I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too, brother. Me too. All right, Ryan, that is it. Give me your plugs in.
All right. I guess you could follow the Twitter page at Lucha Outsiders. It's pretty non-existent at the moment. I apologize. I just haven't really been on the old Twitter in quite a while. But like we mentioned in the beginning, who's to say, right?
Yeah, this Who week. Knows? This, you never know this when week might be the week where you're like, you know what? I need to send out a tweet.
Yeah, you never know. So that's why you should follow it at Lucha Outsiders.
All right, you could follow me at RatedArsons87, but make sure you follow us at Lucha Outsiders on the Instagram and Facebook. I also have been not as active as much on the Lucha Outsiders social media. Not as active, but surprisingly, I don't know what's been happening with me, but since Sunday, I've been posting every day somehow, some way. So I don't know if it's because we're in WrestleMania-like mode right now. Maybe that's the reason where I'm now having the urge to just put out some posts. But I have been posting, so make sure you follow us there. And that's it. So I guess till... Are we going to do a WrestleMania recap show on the... What is that? Would be April 14th? I think that's a Sunday. Do you want to do one, or...
Is yeah, let's question? Do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks and recap WrestleMania and all the shenanigans afterwards. So for... I was going to say it's for the old man, Leo, but he's not part of the show anymore. Holy shit. Shout out to Leo, though. I was talking
for 5 hours already.
I know. I was talking to Leo earlier this week. But okay. So R double Ryan Radar, I'm yours truly, Mr. Radar. Till next time, keep Radar and stay too sweet.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. And good night.